Today on Real Life Radio.
A real servant that loves God, they may not sign up for leadership training. They don't have to. Well, you need to take Harvard a leadership training course. That's fine if you're going to run a business. Awesome, go do it. Yes, fine. But when it comes to Christianity, you know what? You know what qualifies you to be a leader? A servant.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Friends and Foes in the Fellowship, Part 2, begins in the book of Philippians chapter 2 with verses 19 through 30. It's at this time when Paul sends Timothy and Epaphroditus to the Philippian church to receive news about them. The most valuable things in life cannot be bought. When we begin to slow down and look at our lives, we start to realize what's really important, and that includes friends. Timothy and Epaphroditus were Paul's friends and bondservants through thick and thin. They were not only trustworthy, they were also followers of Jesus Christ. They even disregarded their own well-being in order to minister to Paul in his time of need. Today on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that Jesus is our pattern for living, and his servant leaders will be our guide. Together, we are messengers of God's eternal word. United, we are partners in his work. Our mission is to bring the lost world an opportunity for salvation. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
As a Christian imprisoned in Rome, you're risking your life even visiting Paul. He could care less. Epaphroditus goes, do you want a friend like that? That's a servant leader. You know why? Because listen, a real servant that loves God, they may not sign up for leadership training. They don't have to. Well, you need to take Harvard a leadership training course. That's fine if you're going to run a business. Awesome, go do it. Yes, fine. But when it comes to Christianity, you know what? You know what qualifies you to be a leader? A servant. It's an upside down kingdom, or maybe a right side up kingdom. Look, we all know this stuff. Listen, there are leaders who say, follow me or you'll get fired. You do this or else. You know, we've all had bosses like that, have we not? If you don't, you know those kind of guys, and you do it, don't you do it? You do it because you want to keep your job. You do it for the pay, but you're looking for something better. And then you have leaders who are servants, and you could make more money down the street, but you'd rather work for him or for her because they're just awesome to work with and to be under. Same is true in marriage, families, parents, kids, friendship. Same. Servant leadership. Always in the battle of life. Always where there's suffering to some degree. Starting at one point, Philippi, Paul's in Rome, and they meet together. Very quick, I want to remind you guys about how, this is kind of a silly thing maybe, but maybe it's a picture for you. On May 10th, 1869, doubt if any of you were there, but May 10th, 1869, the Union and Central Pacific Railroads joined together in Promontory Point, Utah, and they connected the nation by rail. One train company started on one end of the nation and one on the other, and they headed off and they met and they drove that golden spike that's there in Utah, Promontory Point, where the two trains met. They connected or bridged the continent together. They met. You see, well, that's cool, but so what? What's the big deal? Well, the next thing, I don't know if you remember this or not, but I actually do remember this, but on December 1st, 1990, I thought it was nuts, but they did it anyway, and it's been a great success. That is, France and England began digging what is called affectionately the Channel. Under the English Channel, they built a tunnel. And for what? For high-speed Eurostar trains. And over here in France, they began to dig the massive. You ought to go online later, not now. Go to YouTube and watch them build this. Absolutely amazing. And so they start digging over here, and they're going this way, and England starts digging over here. First of all, you got two countries, which is interesting. Two separate languages, right? Two separate cultures. But they want to join these two economic powerhouses. So England starts here, France starts here, they dig, 13,000 workers together underground under 150 feet of seabed here, and they joined right about there, I think, right? Maybe here, somewhere over here. And on TV, you can watch how they come together and the drilling machines, which are massive, met up within micromillimeters of how they do that. Well, they use satellites and technology and all these GPS things and all that kind of stuff. So my question to you is it possible for two to meet on the opposite ends at the same point and have unity? The answer is yes. And now we do it every day in space all the time, right? If the church would find out or get back to this hidden secret of the body of Christ, there's nothing that we can't do. We need to stop, listen, we need to stop having compartments in our Christianity that this is that group, this is this thing, and those are the evangelists, and those are the caregivers, and those are the teachers, and those are the, listen, we're the body of Christ. In that body, in the organism of Christ that makes up the body of Christ, there's all these various gifts that you possess as a believer. It's not us and them, or you and us, or we and the others. It's one in Christ. And we're working together. Epaphroditus and Paul meet because of the same gospel, the same message. The church today is fractured and divided. Why? Because they don't believe in the same doctrines. They say they're Christian. They say they're a church. But they're anything. But then he says, secondly, that he's a fellow soldier. A fellow soldier. What does this mean? It means sharing in the same dangers. He shares in the same dangers. We together should share in the same dangers. The word means hardships, trials. By the way, I thought this was very encouraging because of the stuff that I get involved in. But it also, the word actually means that the soldier is one who is sent by political power. In other words, the king or the parliament sends this soldier to battle. The word carries with it a political meaning. What does that mean? It means that you've been dispatched by the powers that be. So listen, I love the politic of Christ. He dispatches us, doesn't he? He sends us to where? Christian, into the battle. You're going to go tomorrow morning. You're going to go. Some of you work on Sunday afternoon. You're going to go into the battle. You're not just going to work. You're going to the battle. Some of you, my goodness, you go home to the battle, don't you? Horrible. Your home attacks you for being a Christian. Every time you come here, you got to go home and defend the fact that you were here. You're mocked by husband or by wife or by kids. It's a heartbreak. Paul says, listen, he's my fellow soldier. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, 2 Timothy 2, 1, the Bible says there, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Can you imagine some guy going into battle and he's taking the kitchen sink with him and his, his Sea-Doo, he's dragging it across the desert. He doesn't take anything from home that he may please him who, here's the word, enlisted him as a soldier. The Lord is asking you and I, he's inviting you and I, come on, let's go. I want you to be with me as my fellow soldier. Epaphroditus is an amazing example. Number three, but your messenger, Paul says. What does that word mean? One that serves in the same capacity. This is huge. The word messenger is the same word that Paul is given an award of the title of, an apostle, one who is sent and one who proclaims the message. And the apostle Paul turns right around and says, Epaphroditus is just like me. I'd like to be just like Paul. Wouldn't you like to be like Paul? Wow. Well, according to the rule book right here, if we are like Epaphroditus, we'll be like Paul. And Paul is an example of those who have been called to share the good news. The message of the gospel must be delivered, church. And according to the apostle and according to the Bible, it's delivered by us. Listen to this. I just wrote a few things down that the meaning of it. It means that it must be delivered physically in voice, this word. It must mean that it is to be propagated by every means possible. We would say today by every technology possible. Print, radio, transmission, internet. Do you know what the first audio book was, the first book on audio? Bible. You know what the first book printed on a mass printing scale? Bible. Do you know what the first message that was broadcast around the world in religion anyway? Bible, gospel. Interesting. Watch this. According to us, or according to Paul, us need to be messengers, and that is getting the word out by transmission. And it's pretty cool because here's the deal. That when God sent the gospel to us, how did he do it? He could have sent angels, didn't he? But he didn't. He sent us his son. And I want you to hear this because this is the same challenge to us today. In John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. This is a huge hint. Listen, verse 14, skip down. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What does this mean? The Word became what?
Flesh.
That's how God communicated the gospel to a lost world. It initiated through his son Jesus, okay? Think of that. The Word became flesh. The flesh preached the Word. The Word went into the hearts of the believers. Flesh. People just like you and I. The flesh preached the Word. The Word entered into the ears, into the minds, and the hearts of flesh. The flesh turned around and preached the Word until it reached you when you came to Christ. How did you do that? How did that happen? Somebody in the flesh physically spoke to you the Word. And you turned around and now you are to tell others. Epaphroditus, Paul, Peter, you. This is what we're called to do. Don't sit this out. Get in the battle. Servant leaders are built and made from being in the battle. How do we get in the battle? Share the good news. Say, Jack, I would really like to see my Christianity blossom. I really want to experience it. I don't want to hear about it anymore. I want to do it. What do I do? You know what? I would encourage you, first of all, sign up for the call ministry. Learn how to tell others the gospel. And you want to get in the battle? That's how you get in the battle. First of all, when you sign up, you're going to get nervous. Just for signing up, you don't know why. Then you're going to go to the first training course, and you're going to feel like ditching the course and thinking of something different. You're going to get all nervous. And then you're going to go through the course, and then your first day after being trained, you're going to go out, and you're going to knock on the door with a trainer, and the trainer's going to do the talking, and you're going to do the listening, but you know the day is coming when it's your turn. And you're freaking out. You're freaking out. Why? You're in the battle. You are being gloriously built up with the Word, but the Word is like an explosion. It cannot be contained, and it's going to come out of you. Flesh will communicate the eternal Word of God. If I were God, I never would have put this model together. I wouldn't have used humans, frail, faulty humans, to give his eternal Word. How does it work? Don't worry. You're just to present the Word, and the Holy Spirit grabs it from within you and supernaturally empowers it into the ears, into the minds of another human being listening to the Word, and there's an explosion like a combustible engine or like a chamber with a piston and a spark. Wham! A miracle happens, and the person speaking the truth, flesh to flesh, the eternal truth. The person giving the gospel is completely shocked, totally, gloriously devastated, humbled beyond measure, walks away and says, oh God, thank you. Have you ever led somebody to Christ? Forgive me for putting it this way. There is no drug on earth that can give you a high like leading somebody to Christ. No way. Unbelievable. And it's forever. Remember Huey Lewis? I want a new drug. One that doesn't make me sick, he sang. Remember that? Poor Huey Lewis. He needed the gospel. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how God does that. Flesh to flesh, the eternal Word. Jesus became flesh, preached the Word, and you and I heard the Word. We are flesh, and we communicate that flesh. Colossians 2:9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in the flesh, Jesus. Absolutely awesome. And then also, he's the one who ministered to my need. Servant leaders will be in the battle because of one grand overriding reason, and that is Jesus Christ is their pattern of living. Do you want to follow Jesus? Then get in the battle. Dwight Pentecost said, when God saves a man, God makes the man a partner in his work. What a great quote. When God saves a man, God makes the man. a partner in his work, Dwight Pentecost. And so the word became flesh, and we're to do the same. In 1 John 4, verse 17, the Bible says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Did you know that God wants you to be bold in the day of judgment? And the word means to not flinch. Wow. On the day of judgment. Yes, I'd like that. Well, listen, he says, because as he is, Christ, so are we in the world. Oh, this is awesome. Well, if I could just see Jesus, wait a minute. There's only one Jesus, but you're to mimic him. There's only one Jesus, but you and I are to act like him, speak like him. How do we do that? The Bible, the word, say the word. Know the word, speak the word. Do the word. It's amazing. Notice that when Jesus developed his disciples, when you read the Gospels and the book of Acts as well, notice that Jesus took them on amazing journeys. I mean, that's the four Gospels when you read them. It's amazing journeys. Notice that he showed them remarkable powers. Notice that when you read the Gospels and he was developing his disciples, he taught them eternal truths. And then he invited them to go and do the impossible. That's what Jesus did. And in John 14, verse 12, Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, how many of you in this room believe, trust in Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. Okay, now put your hand down. Let me finish the verse. The works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. Jesus said that about you, about me. What could possibly be greater than the works that Jesus performed? You know what's interesting about Jesus' ministry? Read it carefully. You don't see any mass conversions of people under Jesus' personal ministry, do you? Read the Gospels. You don't see thousands and thousands of people accepting Christ when Christ preached the word. You see tremendous miracles, dead raised, eyes opened of the blind, lepers cleansed, don't you? You often see Jesus bringing the gospel and people walking away from the gospel. Isn't that interesting? You ever wonder about that? But then Peter, just after the day of Pentecost, opens his mouth, and how many people get saved in one moment? 3,000 people get saved in a little short sermon. And some scholars say within 10 days, the church had grown to about possibly 10,000 people in Jerusalem in 10 days. Well, listen, how did that happen? And is that what Jesus meant? I believe it is. Look, you and I may not have raised the dead, but Jesus says, well, don't worry about that. You're going to do something greater. What is that something greater? Giving the gospel to somebody else. Let's be honest. You can have a miracle performed on you. It doesn't convert you. You could be healed of cancer and never give your life to Christ. But a person who is led to the kingdom of God, they're forever changed. Their soul secure with Christ forever. That's why in Mark 16, 15, Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Wow. Preach the word. And so Jesus says, greater works you will do. The second thing is this, found in verses 26 to 28, is that a servant leader will be leading you through. Leading you through, and I left that hanging. Leading you through whatever. Notice it says that he was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. So the Philippian believers heard, news took about 3 months to get there, so they had heard that he was sick. Oh, we've heard that Epaphroditus is sick. We love him. Oh, we're so concerned. They got prayer meetings going on, no doubt. He's with Paul, but he's sick. So Paul says, yeah, you guys, listen, he was upset. Epaphroditus was all upset because he heard that you guys heard that he was sick and that you guys were upset. Isn't this sweet? Listen, this is Christianity. I mean, let's not waste this moment here. This is serious. The church in Macedonia was very, very upset because Epaphroditus was sick when they heard about him being sick, but Epaphroditus was with Paul. So he's sick. The church is very sad. They're sad sick. Everybody's sad and sick. because they're so connected. Watch this. Verse 27, for indeed he was sick almost to death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Oh, great. Now Paul would say, great, Epaphroditus died on me, and the church at Philippi, they're going to be devastated, and I can't take that pain. Do you hear the tenderness of this? People living in a harsh, ugly Roman world like that, notice how tender their hearts were. Look, let's be honest. The age in which you and I live in, I tell you what, my greatest challenge is, maybe it's not yours, but I've got to guard my heart against the news of this world, because if I don't, I'll get a calloused or hardened heart. When I hear about this group doing this to the other people or that to the other thing, my initial emotional response is, let them all fry. Now, that's not Christian. That's not biblical. That's not Jesus. You want to, Lord, just say the word and I'll call down fire from heaven. Remember the apostle, the disciple said that? And Jesus says, calm down. You don't know what spirit you are of. No, my thing is I have to guard my heart from getting hardened against this wicked world. And chances are you may be the same way. We've got to be careful. In the Roman world, note how tender the early church was in the midst of an ugly world. This is a goal for me.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Friends and Foes in the Fellowship, Part 2. Thanks for listening. There is no greater love than what Jesus did when he laid down his life for us, his friends. Today was day 2 of this lesson, and we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
So this is one of those times I get to sit down in the studio with my good friend, Pastor Jack. Hey, buddy, how are you?
I'm doing good.
You doing good?
I'm doing good, Davey.
You're doing good, and for the same reason that I'm doing good. It's Christmas. We're coming up on Christmas. Isn't it great?
Yeah, more sweeter now than maybe ever with the way the world is going, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Christmas, just, and if it's just, it's not that it's Christmas as a day.
Yeah.
It's about all that it represents, the fact that for the believer, Christ coming means something to us every day of the year.
Isn't that true?
Yeah, and so today's one of those days, or Christmas is that time of the season where the world has got to stop and consider. They either believe in him or they don't, but it's an awesome time.
Yeah, it is too.
Yeah.
Call me crazy, but at this time of year, I feel like we've come to the end of another race. Does that make any sense to you at all?
Absolutely.
I mean, it seems like, oh, good, we've done it.
As a pastor, the type of ministry that we're involved in, it's literally nonstop. My body is so fatigued. I'm physically thrashed.
Right.
From so much ministry and stuff, and all of the stuff that surrounds it. But please, none of you, don't feel sorry for me. And don't say, oh, you need to take a rest. I mean, I do need to take a rest. My point is this. You can get so caught up in what you're doing that you are tired body, soul, and spirit. Or you can do what God has called you to do and be tired physically, but your spirit and your soul can be renewed daily.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And that's where I'm at. And that's where we ought to be at, I do believe. Because though my outward man's perishing, the Bible says our inward man is being renewed, and I think the one-year Bible experience, if you've never done it before, friend, join us on January 1st. Get your copy, get it ready, and just know this, that when you sit down to your cup of coffee or your lunch or your dinner, and you open it up, just know that there are literally tens of thousands of believers that have joined you in that discovery that day. It's absolutely awesome.
Literally on the same page, right?
Absolutely.
So you can pick up your copy of the one-year Bible at jackhibbs.com. It's our December book of the month, and you can get it for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.